Today's episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast is presented by our friends at Compassion International. You can sponsor a child today and release them from poverty by going to compassion.com/sportspectrum. That's the website, compassion.com/sportspectrum. There is no greater gift that you can give to a child than the gift of hope. And you can do that through the great people, the great work at Compassion International. Check out the website, compassion.com/sportspectrum, and pray about sponsoring a child today. And we're also presented by our Sports Spectrum magazine. Make sure you're getting your copy right now. It's the best thing that we do here at Sports Spectrum, a quarterly magazine featuring faith and sports, in-depth stories, articles. There's devotionals in the magazine. Great stories, including the cover story on the new summer edition of the Sports Spectrum magazine with Arizona Diamondbacks two-time Gold Glove shortstop, Nick Ahmed. He's on the cover. The design is fantastic. I think the kids will love this. It's clean content. It's very hard to find clean content in today's culture, especially in the world of sports. Well, we're bringing Jesus in the sports conversation. We're bringing Jesus in the sports magazine conversation. And you can get Sports Spectrum's magazine right now over at sportspectrum.com. Click that magazine icon at the top of our website. Again, sportspectrum.com. And if you use the code podcast15, podcast15, all lowercase, podcast15, you will save 15% off a one-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine. It makes a great gift, perfect for that Jesus-loving sports fan in your life. Get your copy of the Sports Spectrum magazine. Get your subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine. You can do that today at sportspectrum.com.
Welcome into the Sports Spectrum podcast, where we bring Jesus into the sports conversation. Here's your host for today, Jason Romano.
Hey guys, welcome to Sports Spectrum. I am Jason Romano. It's great to have you back here on today's show. You can find us at our website, sportspectrum.com. Articles and devotionals and podcasts, the intersection of sports and faith. Great resources. That is the home base. You got to go there every single day. And I think you'll be encouraged by what you find. Great stories, great testimonials, lots of video content. Like I said, a daily devotional Monday through Friday. Of course, all of our podcasts. Check out sportspectrum.com each and every day. You can also reach us directly if you have a guest idea. Maybe you want to invite us to be a part of a men's gathering or a conference that you might have with Sports Spectrum being a part of it. Maybe you have some feedback on today's show. You might even have a potential advertiser or company that you think wants to be a part of what we're doing here at Sports Spectrum. Well, you can email me directly, jason@sportsspectrum.com. I'd love to hear from you. jason@sportsspectrum.com. Now, today on the show, Alex Call is our guest here on Sports Spectrum. He's with the Washington Nationals. He's an outfielder there with the Nationals. He made his major league debut last year, last July 11th with Cleveland, which he had been traded to from Chicago. And then a couple weeks after being with Cleveland, he goes on waivers, picked up by Washington. And now he is in the big leagues, at least for the latter part of the season thus far, with the Washington Nationals. Last year, when he went to Washington on September 8th, he had 4 hits and 5 at-bats. He had a 3-run homer, 5 RBIs, and helped the Nationals to an 11-6 win over the Cardinals. He had a walk-off homer this year on May 4th, which was really cool against the Cubs. And we talk about that moment. I just think from a fan perspective, right? Like, I played up to high school in baseball, same with basketball. I played a little bit of college basketball, but I've never had a moment anywhere near like a professional baseball or a major league baseball moment where you hit a walk-off homer in a game. And Alex did that for the Nationals, a walk-off homer, which was really cool to see. You know, celebratory moment for him. He describes it perfectly, what that experience was like, and really grinding through the minor leagues, right? Like, he went 6 years before making it to the big leagues after being drafted. That's a long time for someone drafted out of college at Ball State in the third round, and it took him 6 years, but he's made it and he's there, and he is, a staple in that lineup for the Washington Nationals and has been for the early part of this year into the mid part of this year. He is Alex Call, and we got a pretty cool story of how he and I connected in the Dominican Republic to start us off right at the top here on the show. This is Alex Call from the Washington Nationals, and he joins us on Sports Spectrum. Hey, Alex Call, welcome to Sports Spectrum, buddy. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Good to see you.
Last time I saw you was in person. I want to paint this little picture for the audience listening. We were on a bus, you know, taking a trip, I think, to and from this opportunity with Compassion International last December, late November, early December, and we were in the Dominican Republic. You were playing winter ball. I was there for about 5 days with Compassion, and suddenly, you know, in this very poor village of Bate Aleman, I think is the one that we were at, I see and meet Alex Call, and you're there kind of hanging out, kind of a one-day opportunity for you. You had an off day. And we're also sitting on a bus together, kind of driving back, and you were tired. Like you had like, I think you had like 3 hours sleep, maybe that. But still felt like it was important to be there that day. What do you remember about that day and just the opportunity to go and serve and play baseball and hang out with those kids in the DR? Also knowing that you were on a very short amount of sleep that day in the midst of a winter league that you were playing baseball.
Yeah. A lot to unpack there. But I think it starts with, you know, why did I want to go to the DR this offseason or last offseason? It was partly for the baseball, obviously, to experience that culture, to continue to get at bats and improve myself and my career. But also there was a big part of me that wanted to kind of really learn Spanish, like I've taken Spanish for a long time. I've been in the minor leagues for a long time and talking with teammates for a long time. And, wanted to really kind of finish off that part of my vocabulary with Spanish. But then also I wanted to be able to, you know, continue to expand my horizons and be able to see what's going on. And so be able to go down there and have at least that day on an off day with Compassion was something that I wanted to do. And, you know, yeah, I didn't get a lot of sleep because for those who don't know, like in the Dominican, you travel to the game and then you travel back and then you do it again the next day. So sometimes you can have these 3 hour travel days. They play 4 hour games. Mm-hmm. So you don't get back until like 3 a.m. sometimes. And then, you know, I was picked up at the hotel and ready to go for that day. But I wanted to be a part of that and see kind of what work Compassion is doing down there and just kind of be involved with understanding what some of these kids are going through. And also I think the emphasis that day was the women who are pregnant and getting help and hospital care for those women who are bringing babies into the world and just loving them in that way. So it was a really cool experience to just be able to see that and be down there and understand kind of the holistic picture of what everything looks like.
Yeah, there's one thing to take a vacation to the DR, which maybe people listening have done that, gone to the Dominican Republic, stayed at a nice resort, beautiful weather, right? When we were down there, I think it was like 80 every day and sunny. It was beautiful. But when you get on a bus and you go into the villages, and you see like firsthand what poverty is, that's kind of eye-opening, right? Was that eye-opening for you a little bit to kind of be down there? I know we were playing baseball with those kids and you wouldn't have known that they were in poverty-stricken areas, but it was pretty eye-opening compared to what we get to have here in the States.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that were a lot different than what people would be used to. And as simple as just having a house that's, you know, not being flooded. You know, there was like sometimes you get a lot of rain and all of a sudden this rain is in their house. And living in those conditions and on top of this one woman was, you know, probably 6 months pregnant and all the challenges that brings on. But just being able to kind of see on an everyday basis what poverty looks like. And these kids, they don't necessarily know any different. It's just that's what kind of they grow up in. So it's great to be able to kind of go down there and understand what's going on and then see where we can be able to help, you know, in the process.
Yeah. Alex Call is with us here on Sports Spectrum with the Washington Nationals. Go back to that time. kind of look where you are today, right, in the big leagues with Washington. What were some of those prayers that you were presenting to God in the winter that maybe you've seen answered as we talk now, you know, late spring, early summer, when you think about, you know, where you were at that time, you know, and you had made your debut last year, and we'll share that story in a second, in 2022, but there's never a guarantee in professional sports at any length, really. So think about where you were, and maybe what were some of the prayers and the conversations you might have had with God when you were in the DR?
Yeah, I mean, I think my biggest prayer this offseason was just that I would be used by God how he wants. You know, that I would be, obviously this is something that I want to be in the major leagues, but also I want to be where he needs me, and I want to be available and present to whatever he has for me. And I know that I don't necessarily know what's best for myself. So I think I know what I want, but God might have a different door for me to go through or something. So my biggest prayer was that I would just be where he needs me, and that I could be a light to whoever it is that I might run across, whether it's in spring training or whether it's throughout the season, whether it's with, you know, a group of guys here on this team. And really just wanting to be present to that fact and try to remove yourself from the statistics and the daily grind and the ups and downs of the baseball season and be able to be who God made you to be on a daily basis in the clubhouse. And that's a constant maturing factor that I'm always going through right now and grinding through, because there's going to be times when it's tough, but you know, this game is beautiful, but it's also very insignificant in the grand scheme of things. And so trying to keep that perspective and always keep that at the forefront and keep Christ at the forefront of your mind and understanding that I have a mission today to be a light to those who need it. And letting that be my mission and my life's goal.
How has that been? It's such a performance-based sport that you play, right? And baseball is the ultimate, you know, 0-for-4, okay, got to turn around, go, you know, go 2-for-4. Oh, I hit a walk-off homer. I go 4-for-5. The next day you go 0-for-5. This sport will humble you quickly. How have you been able to kind of grind through your baseball career, you know, and certainly being in the big leagues the last, you know, I guess 9 months or so when you think about it, when you got called up last year, maybe it's been a year, close to a year, but just of being able to maintain that posture of, okay, I want to do my best, but it's not the number one thing. Jesus is the number one thing, right? So how have you been kind of able to go through that and understand, you know, you want to put the hard work in and not get down, right? Or still find joy. I think that's maybe a better way to put it. Still find joy in the midst of an 0-for-4 day, or, you know, a couple of days where you're not hitting so well.
Yeah, it's a daily renewing of your mind, really. But there's a lot of times, I mean, I can look back on my career in the minor leagues and the big leagues, it doesn't matter either one. When there's tough times, when there's, you know, suffering, if you want to call it, that's going to be what makes you mature and complete in your faith. You know, as it talks about in James. Mm-hmm. And I've leaned on a lot of those verses. I've leaned on the Word of God to give me strength, to keep me present to his mission, to keep me sane, really, because if you put your identity in baseball, then if you're not playing well, then you're going to be on a roller coaster, or you're going to be, you're not going to be who you are. You're going to be kind of trapped by those results. And so, you know, and even though I say that, I still feel that way sometimes, you know, and yeah, it's just the way it is. But the more you can ground yourself in your faith, in Christ, in the Word, in your prayer, in your daily quiet time, to really let, like, say, God, like, just let me feel your presence. Let me see your presence. Let me, let that be my focus, and let not it just be me wanting to get hits. That is what keeps me grounded. And that's what keeps me centered on the ultimate mission. And then keeps you from, you know, the highs and lows best you can. Because there's going to be times when you're tested, and there's going to be times where it's like, all right, I'm doing this, I'm in the word, but I'm still feeling kind of stressed because I need to get a hit. But that it gives you the most armor, gives you the most armor to fight against that stuff, if that makes sense. And gives you that peace. And then it's just a daily renewal, you know, give us this day our daily bread. Give me my daily peace. Give me my daily peace that, Lord, it's not about my performance. It's not about my statistics. It's about my heart for you, abiding in you, abiding with you. And then with that, then you're able to kind of be more on an even keel plane and be the same person every day and be the light that you want to be. And hopefully, you know, that is your best witness and testimony to your teammates.
Yeah, Waino, I think, said that once, Adam Wainwright, where he said, "Listen, I might throw 7 innings of shutout ball and more people might put a microphone in my face, but what about when I go 2 innings and give up 8 runs? Can I still be the same guy? Can I still be the best teammate I can be and the best follower of Christ, ambassador for Christ that I can be in the midst of, you know, the really bad outing as opposed to when things are going great?" And, you know, I'm sure you've seen that too, just being in baseball. It's can you be the same guy when the highs are the high and the lows are the low?
Yeah, exactly. That's the trick. And it's gonna test you a lot. It's gonna test you a lot. So having that as the center of your life, it really well reveals, well, what is the center of your life? And a lot of times it'll be like, all right, you gotta check back in with God, because you're letting your performance be too much of who you are right now. And it's just so great to have, you know, people in your life, people, you know, different mentors, different, you know, friends, family, people praying for you, people, always, I feel like God's always put people in my life, you know, whether it be from, you know, starting in high school, going into college, you know, having a great coach there and a great group of teammates, you know, then into professional baseball and getting into PAO and getting into UPI and all these different organizations where people were coming into my life to continue to basically push me towards this discipleship path and really understanding my faith as my own. You know, God's always been working in those ways. He's always working for our good, even if we don't understand what that really is at the moment. But if you just trust in that, like I said earlier, I don't necessarily know what's best for me, but I know God's writing the plan for my life. And if I can be fully trusting in that, then I'm going to be able to be at peace more.
Yeah.
And that's the key.
Yeah. It's always the key to find that peace. Where does that pivot moment happen for you where you make Christ Lord? Do you have like a testimony that you can share or a story when it became real to you, when Christ became sort of Lord of your life?
Yeah, I mean, I was very fortunate to have two amazing parents raise me up in the church, and I never really had a moment where I strayed away necessarily, but I kind of went from, all right, I'm a Christian, which means I don't swear and I don't drink or whatever. And I'm not going to do these things, but it's, and but that the whole discipleship thing, that kind of sounds like a missionary. I'm not really a missionary, but God really calls us all to be that, you know. He calls us all to go and make disciples of all nations. And really, when I'd say got plugged in with UPI and was discipled by Mickey Weston, and that's when I kind of realized that calling on my life, where it's like, all right, it's not just about not doing this. It's about living in a way that others can see, but also being a leader for Christ and taking up the opportunities that he gives you and trying to let that flow out of you, so that others can see that and be able to be there for them, talk with them through some things, invite them to certain events, invite them to certain things so that they can experience that too. And it's not just your own shell that you're in, but that's just who you are. And you're letting Christ kind of flow through you in whatever you're doing. And so it was kind of those moments, those years. But it was a constant, I guess, sanctification process, you know, you could call it if we want to use those words, where I was just continually being made more like Christ, I believe, in my life, and just God putting those people in my life to help line me up, to make me ready for whatever moment is to come, you know, whether it, moments in the past, moments that are happening now, and moments that are going to be coming. And just wanting to continue to be more like him and ultimately do his will.
Yeah. By the way, no one better than Mickey Weston, right? One of the best dudes
Right.
you'll ever find. Not a bad guy to get discipled by as you're becoming a professional baseball player, which leads me to, I think, a really interesting time for you, right? Because you've grinded when you really think about your career going from, you know, would you grow up in Minnesota to Ball State? You're drafted in 16, in the third round, becoming a professional. And then, you know, a couple years later, there's no games played during COVID in 2020. You make your debut in 22, which I'll ask you about in a second. But take us through kind of this grind journey, right? And the toughest time, maybe. Was there a tough time or the toughest time that you can think about for you during, I guess, all that I just mentioned, right? Between being drafted, which is a great high, and then going into the minors, which quickly you humble yourself right away when you realize, oh, I'm drafted, but I'm not, you know, starting in center field for the Nationals. You got to go through a process here. What's that been like for you? And maybe take us through some times that have been, you know, a little bit troubling or difficult.
Yeah, there's gonna there you know there was it, no one sorry, but
No, it's fine.
when you get drafted, you're like, all right, 2 to 3 years, you know, I'm in the big leagues.
Right.
And it's like, I would have not guessed it was gonna be 6 plus, you know, basically.
Yeah.
But that's the whole process, that's the journey, and sometimes you just have to survive for that long. You know, and I had some injuries that cost me some time, you know, in 17, after coming off a pretty solid 16. But then again in 19, I had my worst season after coming off of an injury, and that was right before the pandemic. So I think I hit like 200 and hit was striking out at about 30%, and I was like, oh man, this isn't looking good. And I was with the then Indians at that time in Double A, and I had this felt like I just had this big cloud over my head of this bad season that I wanted to get rid of. And I was working hard, like getting ready for 2020, only to be going to spring training, feeling pretty good, but then bang, we're shut down.
Yeah.
And that was really tough because now the cloud continued over my head, and there was only one thing that I could do was just continue to work. You know, I figured out kind of what my struggles were. I identified that. I ended up buying a junior hack pitching machine and just hitting high fastballs at the top of the zone so I could get on top of those four seam riding heaters, which was all the rage back then. And just hit until hopefully someone would give me a call. I was trying to play for independent ball teams or over in Australia or Dominican or whatever, whoever would give me a chance, but never got an opportunity that whole year. Wasn't at the alternate site and was just really having to understand the grind, and understand, like, do you really believe in yourself? And do you believe that this is possible, and do you trust that if you give it all you have and it doesn't work out, are you still going to be at peace with that? You know, and I
Yeah.
think that's where having your relationship with Christ is like, look, God, I'm going to put it all on the line. I'm going to give it all I got every day, and I'm going to work as hard as I can at this. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't work out for me, I still know that you got me, and I can still have peace with that. And I think when you get to that level, you're allowed to, it actually allows you to play better. You can say, no matter what happens, I'm going to be covered. So I can go out there and play with freedom. So that 2020 was really difficult, but ultimately I finally got my chance in 2021, and I was honestly on the verge of being released. It was really came down to me and one other guy, and I ended up making it through for whatever reasons. And then was told I was probably only going to play about two every six games, 2 games out of 6. And I was like, wow, what is going on?
Was this double A or triple A at that time, Alex?
Double A
Yeah.
in 21.
Yep.
But then, like, second day of the year, one of the other outfielders pulls his hamstring, and I get to play. And I play, and just I dominate for a full month, and get called up to Triple A right about as he's coming back from a hamstring injury, and do really well in Triple A. Come around to 22, kind of the same situation. Where it's like, hey, well, we're not going to really tell you anything different that you're going to be guaranteed at bats or anything.
Yeah.
Because look what you did last year, and just grind it out every day. All your dreams are ahead of you. We believe you can do it, but you're gonna have to, go for it. And it really is a solid message, because while everybody wants to be like that prospect that is gonna get all the opportunities and the chances, at the same time, when it comes to the end of the day, you have to produce and you have to find a way to do it. You're only as good as your last, who knows, however, 50 to 100 at bats.
Yep.
And you've got to find a way to produce. So it really puts you in perspective all the time. So 22, was playing, four out of six, four out of six. Then I ended up getting COVID and I had to sit out for 10 days, and came back. And luckily I was playing pretty well. But then after that, I played 20 some in a row and was having just an amazing year. And eventually got called up with the Guardians. And just to look back on all that and think about just all the grinding that went in, all the hard work that went in, all the just surrendering. I mean, surrendering is the biggest word I think there is. Just like, here it is, God. Here's what I've got. Here's how I'm working, but it's in your hands. And then to have it ultimately be realized, it is really special.
Now, you said a lot there that I think is really good, especially just staying steady. And I'm guessing, was there a moment at all, or did you not allow this to creep in where you thought maybe I'm not supposed to keep playing here? Was there ever a moment like that, or did you never feel that?
I don't think I ever felt it totally. It's always there, but I knew that I could do it if I could just. I just had to prove it.
Yeah.
I just had to prove it for a little bit, and that we were coming down to a season of time where, all right, this is my sixth year in the minor leagues, so that means after this year I'm going to be a minor league free agent. So this, I went into 2022 knowing like, well, this could be my last year. I mean, if I do terribly this year, it's going to be tough for me to get a job next year. But also, if I do really well, then they have to make a decision, because if I do really well and they don't call me up, well, then I'm going to be gone.
Yep.
So then I have a little bit of leverage on my side, but I have to play well and put the pressure on them to make that decision,
Yeah.
which thankfully I did. But there was the realization, like, hey, if I don't play well this year, this could be my last year. I think that adds just a little bit of nervousness, but also that's where the surrender comes back. It's like, look, I mean, I'm gonna give it all I have, but it's in your hands, God. Take care of it.
Yeah, do the very best you can. What do you remember about July 11th, 2022? That was the day you made your debut. What do you remember?
So that was a pretty, it was obviously a whirlwind. We were in Columbus on the 10th. I actually had an off day, just a scheduled off day on that Sunday. And I was just kind of taking it all in. And then afterwards, manager told me I was getting called up to the big leagues. And at that point, we were playing against the White Sox in Cleveland. And I was in Columbus, so it's only like a 2.5, 3 hour drive or whatever it is. And I was just, it was crazy. I drive back up your apartment and put everything in the car. Me and my wife were just trying to run around and get all that stuff taken care of, and then get to Cleveland and make a bunch of phone calls, telling everybody, family, get everybody to come to the game, whoever wanted to. And just such an amazing experience, where again, you just think about everything that went into it. Your dad throwing to you as a kid, and playing at playing Little League and playing it, like every kid's dream is to be where you're at, and you're finally there. So then to on the day of, on July 11th, it was still a lot of running around, like, all right, you got, here's this, here's that. All right, you're not in the lineup today, but all right, I'm gonna be ready, I'm gonna be prepared. All right, this is how things work. And just try to, not step on anybody's toes necessarily.
Right.
But be ready and prepared for the game. So, then when my family was there, I was able to take pictures before, and you get into the big league stadiums and you look up and there's, that extra third deck, and, everything just seems so crystal clear. Just beautiful stadiums. It's the real deal. It's the real experience. So then I did get in that night and got the pinch hit against one of my former roommates in Winston-Salem, Tanner Banks, and flew out to center in my pinch hit at bat. But at that moment, I was in the big leagues. I was a big leaguer. I got in,
Yeah.
and just that whole experience was something that you'll definitely never forget.
Of course. No, that's awesome. What's weird though is, you're on waivers just a couple weeks later, and it's Washington that picks you up, which is where you are now. And I'm thinking, man, you make your debut and there's this whirlwind and you're driving and you get everything in your car and you go to Cleveland, and suddenly, less than a month later or something like that, you find yourself in Washington and you're like, it has to be one of those moments where you're like, okay, God, clearly this is not in my control here.
Yeah, definitely it's not in my control. Because I didn't play a whole lot with Cleveland in the
Yeah.
big leagues. I was ready, but there's a lot of really good players there, and it ended up being where they needed to get another starting pitcher that wasn't on the 40 man, so I was the odd man out, and they were hoping that I would go through waivers, but I guess there was Washington ready to claim me, and so it was really interesting. I was like, wow, I really enjoyed my time with Cleveland, but obviously, like, now there's a brand new opportunity. And so it was funny. I was back in Columbus because I got sent down right before I got put on waivers. And then we were playing Rochester in Columbus. And at that time, Rochester had lost like 12 games in a row. Then we beat them again. So it was like they had lost 18 in a row right when I was flipping over to their team. And so I drove to Rochester on the off day, once I found out that it was the Nationals, and got to be in that clubhouse and kind of figure out a way to end this losing streak. Like, and we lost a couple games, and man, I was in there and I was like, man, I'm feeling the pressure from this. Like, this is crazy. Like, this is unprecedented. But then I think we won like the third game there, and everybody went crazy. But it was really just a whirlwind, because then I actually had my best week, one of my best weeks of 2022 while I was in Rochester, and then found myself back in the big leagues that week. So it was crazy. And it's like, wow, here's this whole new opportunity, and there's must be a reason why, God's gonna have me here. Also, my sister just took a job in Washington, D.C. as a lifestyle host, and she had told me actually that Washington, she didn't tell me this, but while I was going through the waiver process, she's like, you're gonna get claimed by Washington. Like, God's telling me like that you're gonna be claimed by Washington, and that I'm gonna be at this job, and we're both gonna be there together. And so it ended up working out in that same way, to where she had been, fasting and praying at a certain time for a long time about this job, and it all just happened to culminate to where this happened. And then so here's now me and my sister from River Falls, Wisconsin, and we're both in the nation's capital following our dreams. And so it was just, you could see God just kind of putting that all together, and really kind of crazy there, on a number of different levels, so all the whirlwind that was, putting that in and then being able to be in Washington with her is really, it's really cool. And then you're just here every day, trying to live out your purpose again.
Yeah, do the best you can. All right, as we wind down, I do want to ask you, because a couple earlier this year, there was a game on May 4th where you had a walk-off homer in the bottom of the ninth against the Cubs. And as I was watching that and knowing that we were going to talk, I was thinking, I would just love to have you describe that feeling when you make contact, when you're the guy up, and maybe you're not even trying to hit a home run. You're just trying to get on base and help the team with an opportunity, you know, to win the game, but you're the guy, right, that hits it out of the park and you come to home plate and they're all mobbing you and all that. Just that cool moment that baseball players, not everyone gets to have, but from a big league perspective, what is that feeling like? Describe that.
It's incredible. As it's like the culmination of all your dreams. Like, you think about hitting a walk-off home run, you think about like what's it going to feel like running around the bases. You've seen it happen all the time. It's all, you know, on SportsCenter, on MLB Network, whatever. You see it and you want that experience so bad. I had never hit a walk-off home run at any level.
Ever.
I've hit walk-offs before, but never a walk-off home run. And, you know, I always think about it. I've come up with a chance to walk it off with a home run, you know, however many times in my career. And it's not that I'm trying to hit a home run. I'm just, you know, trying to get a good pitch and get on base and whatever. But also, I always know, like, you know, if I hit a home run, it would be a walk-off. and so I guess, you know, the innings before, as the game was winding down, I was thinking about that. And especially the inning before, it's like, all right, I'm leading off this inning. I've got a chance to walk it off or whatever. But that being said, I just wanted to get a fastball or just wanted to get a good pitch and get the head of the bat out and let whatever happens, happens. So, you know, first pitch of the inning, it's just right there. Everything tells me yes. I swing, I trust it, and boom, I hit it. And I was just like, oh my gosh, that's going to be a home run. And it was kind of perfect because I'm not really one to like necessarily sit there and watch it or whatever, but it was kind of down the line. So I could kind of just kind of skip and hop over and like really take my time just to make sure it was fair. And it was fair by, you know, about 10, 15 feet. So not that close to where I was really sweating it. And then it's just jubilation. I mean, it's something that I was like, yes, this is it. Like I did it. Like finally, like praise God for such an amazing moment, amazing gift. Because how many people actually get to experience that in their life? Yeah. It's just, you win the game, your teammates are there, they're mobbing you, they're dumping things on you. You get to put on the presidential wig, celebration. You know, it was just such an amazing feeling. And, it's a really great gift that I'll remember for the rest of my life.
Heck yeah. You know, it's funny too, cause it wasn't your first professional home run. So I'm guessing you didn't like get the ball or anything like that because the fan keeps that one or whoever gets it. Right. You didn't get anything from the walk-off, I presume.
I didn't get anything from the walk-off. I think I had them maybe authenticate my cleats.
Okay.
But otherwise, I think that was about it. But I got a lot of memories, that's for sure. Yes, no, I got videos. I got – it was – what was the best part is just like it's kind of soaking it in for, you know, the next day where it's like, all right, there's so many different angles because you can see the dugout. You can see the whole field. You can see the side angles.
Yes.
So – I mean, you just kind of get to soak it in. You got to soak those in because you never know if they'll even happen again. You know, it could be a once in a lifetime thing. And so, like I said, just thank you, Lord, for just an amazing gift and moment that was.
That's awesome. Yeah. As we wind down, I know you got a game tonight as we record this. So, I mean, you got to get to the park. But what does real quick a kind of a rhythm for you look like game day? So you get to the ballpark, let's say it's tonight, right? And you have a home game with the Nationals. You got to get to the park at what time? And then what is your sort of rhythms that you do? And if faith or your time with the Lord is included in this, just, you know, share that if you would before the game starts. Game's usually around 7 Eastern is a first pitch type of scenario. So what does that look like for you?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty routine and regimented in what I do. Most people, at this profession are a lot of repetition. So I wake up, have breakfast, do my morning devotions and prayer. Go through some my other routines, which can include visualization and just different things like that.
Yeah.
Begin to get to the ballpark anywhere between 1:30 and 2:30, somewhere around there. Have some lunch, go through my routines, hit in the cage, take batting practice, watch the starting pitcher, have team meetings, watch some of the relievers. I'll put on my headset and do some visualization or visual training on there, and then just kind of get ready for the game, warm up my arm, do different plyo balls or bands or whatever, just to make sure everything's ready, and I'll watch some of my home runs or hits, just to get those kind of flowing in my brain before strapping it on and getting out there.
That's good. Yeah, there's a lot, right? It
Yeah, there's
sounds
a
like
lot, but I mean, that's a pretty condensed version, but it's usually pretty the same. Things that you can control are really the only thing that matter, because everything else is outside noise that is outside your control. And if you focus on those things, then you're going to be subject to not the same rhythm. But if you can focus on your routine and your rhythm, then you're able to be consistent in who you are, and then hopefully that leads to consistent performance over the course of time. So it is important. It's
No,
very important.
that's good. He is Alex Call from the Washington Nationals. Hey, buddy, thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate you doing it on a game day, and hopefully we'll get you back on, and maybe I won't run into you next time in person, on a bus in the middle of the Dominican Republic. Maybe we'll actually be in the States, and I know you're going to be a dad soon this fall as well, which is exciting for you and your wife. So congrats on that, and hopefully we'll catch up soon.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thank you for everything, and yeah, happy to do it.
Many thanks to my friend Alex Call from the Washington Nationals for joining us here on Sports Spectrum. How about the fact that we were on a random bus together with Compassion International? I didn't really know Alex at all. Honestly, at that time, didn't even know if he had made it to the big leagues yet. So I'm just asking him a ton of questions. He's probably tired of me asking questions when we're on that bus in the Dominican Republic. He's also very tired in general because he had about 3 hours of sleep. So he was relaxing, we'll just say, on that bus. But what a cool opportunity to go serve with Compassion. We love Compassion, by the way. They're a great ministry. But what a great journey he's been on, even just these past, year and a half to 2 years, going all the way back to COVID when he wasn't even playing and not sure where he'd be, to 21 and the potential of him being on the chopping block, right? And then he gets to see it through. And then he makes his debut last year. And now this year, he's up in the big leagues with Washington. And really cool stuff. Lots of fun talking to Alex Call. He's a great guy. And I pray that he and his wife, as they, welcome in their first baby later this fall, that they continue to keep the Lord first and keep the Lord at the center of their lives. And just appreciate Alex for joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. He's a guy to root for. If you watch Washington, look for that name, Alex Call, and root for him. Root hard. Cheer for him because he's a guy that's easily likable and a guy that you want to root for. Trust me on that. So we appreciate Alex for joining us here on Sports Spectrum. And we thank you as well for tuning in. Please do tune in next time for another episode here on Sports Spectrum. Make sure you go to the website, of course, subscribe and follow this podcast, tell someone about Sports Spectrum. But please do tune in next time. We look forward to you joining us here for another episode. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you soon right here on Sports Spectrum.